Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with the lovely Cindy DeFerdinand.
How's everybody today?
Yes, it's a beautiful day here in Texas. And how are you surviving the rains and things?
Survived it. It's a little overcast today, so we're still expecting a little bit more rain. So okay. Never know what will come.
That's right. That's right. Well, we have a special guest with us today, and that because of social media, I guess, one of the forms of social media actually got her in front of my eyes, I guess you might say, on the screen, and we'll kind of share later on in the show how that happened. Pretty serendipitous and in a very, very interesting way. But once I started to look at her background, and I thought, wow, I just got to get Mary Ramon on the show. So without further
ado, welcome, Mary.
Well, thank you, Bruce and Cindy. Thanks for having me on. This is exciting.
We're so excited to have you.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've talked about the different types of coaches that we've had on here, Mary. We've had life coaches and executive coaches and coaches for Christian ministry and coaches for parents with children with special needs or challenges, and the list goes on. And your type of coaching kind of goes in, you know, looks like executive coaching in many ways, but it's also tailored to some more specific areas. So if you want, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and your skill set.
Sure,
Who you'd like to see.
Mm-hmm. I'd be glad to, sure. So I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I've been practicing therapy for over 20 years, and 14 of those years I've been practicing as an employee assistance professional. We're going to say EAP for short on this show, and you may be familiar with EAPs. A lot of large corporations and universities and hospitals have them for their employees. So I'm licensed as a therapist, and I'm certified as an employee assistance professional. And EAPs have been doing coaching since way before coaching was a thing. So it might be a different type of coaching, but it's a great springboard into the kind of coaching that people are interested in getting today. I wear a lot of different hats, and so we can talk about that.
So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your role in EAP?
Sure. So in EAP, as I was saying, I wear many different hats. EAP providers do some coaching. They are counselors, usually they're licensed counselors, and they serve a consultant role to the organization. And the key with wearing lots of hats is it's really important to be keenly aware of which hat you're wearing. Otherwise, things get really muddy.
Good point.
Very aware. Yeah. You don't want to wear them all at once. Even if you can serve in those roles, it's not right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Your background is in nutrition, right, Cindy?
Yeah, I'm a clinical nutritionist. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, telling people you're taking one hat off and putting the other one on, or asking permission if you're stepping outside of the, you know, what the bounds of one profession. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. So it's like that. But in the EAP role, so we do consulting for organizations, so management consultations. And in that role, as a consultant, I'm equipped to coach leaders on handling issues that impact organizations. So those are things like change management and transition support. Maybe if there are layoffs or something like that impacting a large number of people, it could be grief and loss, or some sort of tragedy that's happened where we come in and support people, or in a hospital setting, it might be caregiver burnout, or helping management deal with tricky issues like impairment in the workplace, mediation between, you know, professors or physicians or whoever, people who are not getting along,
right,
and they need to retain these people and make things work. So it's a lot of that sort of consulting, which affects, you know, the bottom line ultimately. And then there's a counseling component and a coaching component as well.
And do you guys actually call it coaching?
They actually, as part of EPA, which is the Employee Assistance Professionals Association, it's part of their core competencies, is they call it coaching, but it doesn't mean the same thing exactly.
Okay. Okay.
It's more about coaching managers in dealing with troubled employees.
Okay.
So it's really more of a consultant role. But because EAPs also are solution-focused more than clinical, a lot of coaching skills are developed with employees, because a lot of them, just like some of the clients you probably work with, they don't necessarily have a mental illness. they're employed.
Right.
And so they're the worried well. You know that term?
Yes. Yes.
Like they're well and they have worries. And but beyond that, the difference, I think, is that whereas counseling is more problem-focused, you know, for things like depression or divorce or grief or illness, substance abuse, you know, as a therapist, I'm equipped to identify those issues and to work with them, but I don't treat them if I'm coaching. So you have to take that hat off. And so coaching is just like an EAP, and you can tell me if I'm on the right track or not, but I think the kind of coaching that people are wanting these days, at least what they're getting from me, is more about facilitating and empowerment and action planning and making non-interpretive observations, that sort of thing, and really more like helping people self-actualize. And they're already doing well, but they want to maybe do better.
Right, right. Move forward in some way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Right, right. I'm with you.
So, yeah.
Interesting, interesting. So do you work for one organization that then goes into many different companies?
So right now I'm in private practice, aside from a day job that I have, but mainly what I'm focusing on is private practice in this call, in this conversation. But most recently, for the EAP work that I've done for 14 years, I was working, I'm in Miami, and so my experience is in managing the employee assistance program for the nation's largest academic healthcare system, which is between Jackson Health System and University of Miami. So it was a pretty big organization.
Right.
And I left that role at the end of November. And since then, I've been just branching out and doing it on my own. And then something amazing kind of happened on January 1st, and I don't know, Bruce can jump in at any point.
Fabulous. So you're focusing on private practice out of your Miami office.
Out of Miami.
Nice.
Yes. And yes, yes. And so the private practice, clinically, I only am licensed to see people in the state of Florida as a coach. As you know, it's not as regulated, and it's kind of wonderful because you can actually help more people and make a difference.
Exactly. And you can be global.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah.
Best of luck in your new endeavors with private practice. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Off to an interesting start. It's great to be on here.
Yeah. It's, you know, working with different types of professionals, and different types of professionals struggle with different types of things, and they struggle with things in a different type of way because of their profession. So that is good that you're able to do that. And
well, you have a great background for it, for sure.
For sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And I think you make a good point, Bruce, because a lot of times people don't want to have to explain their job to you sometimes. Like, it helps if you kind of already get it.
Yes. So I'm with you there.
Yeah.
If you have a track record, I think that's why coaching is such a diverse profession. You know, people take their education, their expertise, their experience personally and professionally, and they go channel that into a different arena or specialty in coaching, where yours is more dealing with the business world. You really know the language. So people are going to reach out to somebody, I believe, you know, or they're drawn to somebody who gets it. They don't have to do all that explaining.
Exactly, especially the language of healthcare and academia. There's actually a whole, believe it or not, because I know you guys deal with a lot of different specialties of coaches, but there are so many specialties within the EAP world as well. I was telling Bruce that I'm the past president of an organization that, if I told you the name, it's so many vowels, it's funny. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think Bruce dropped off because he's route somewhere, but that's okay.
Sure. Yeah. So anyway, when I told him, he started laughing because he's like, there's a specialty for everything, but it's a wonderful group. It's called, the abbreviation is IAEAPE. So I told you it's a lot of vowels. Yeah, one consonant. But they are the International Association of Employee Assistance Professionals in education. So it's basically internal EAPs from universities and teaching hospitals throughout the U.S. And
oh, interesting.
They are an amazing group of mentors that have gotten me where I am today. So
that's
a great
awesome.
Organization.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's specialties within specialties for sure.
Exactly.
Just amazing, you know, that this coaching profession has just opened up and exploded to the degree that it has. And you think that there's not going to be, you know, room for more people, but they're all doing different things. They're serving different people in different ways.
Right. And there are lots of different needs, right?
So absolutely.
And I was listening to your broadcast that the two of you were speaking about doing paired coaching. I thought that was interesting.
Yes, that's
you complement each other.
Yeah, that somebody would have access to two different individuals and perspectives for different reasons, you know, if the need is there. Yeah, so that without having to pay additional.
Right, because I don't know anything about eating healthy. So there's anything to do with nutrition.
And based on your Facebook, I'd have to agree with you. Although sometimes I see him and I go, yum.
Yes.
Yeah, I might need a consultant there too.
Yes, I'm totally available to both of you anytime.
Thank you.
That's right. Yeah, with the paired coaching, that you know, that is such a good paradigm to be able to share a case or just assist in a case and just be able to offer that person, you know, so much more if that's indeed the case, you know. And
absolutely.
And so, it's always been kind of good having that other hat as a therapist. Just, you know, it's helped me look at things, you know, in a more positive way, you know, had I come from a business world or wherever else. So I think that's really good. And so it's really fun to see what people are doing out there. So I guess what we, you know, so you, I found you on LinkedIn. You'd posted this post, and I saw your qualifications. You and I started the conversation, and and I said, "Wow, you know, you've just got a lot of good things going on there with your background." And you had expressed an interest in, you know, as a lot of people are, growing your practice, right? And you know, and part of that. When we go to coaching school and other things is LinkedIn as a vehicle to possibly grow your practice. Now I use LinkedIn, at least in my thinking, I use LinkedIn just to establish a presence. You know what I mean? Just, you know, Bruce Cameron, coach, experience, background, those things. So I haven't really, until recently, thought about it as a mechanism to get clients. And so, but then when I saw your post, you know, and then I saw that reached millions of people, You know what I mean? And I'm sure it got your attention too. You're just like, man, you know, that's
I didn't know what to think of it. Yeah, exactly. It started off, you know, at first I was like, wow, look at this, 2,000, you know, and I thought that was big, and then it just kept multiplying. And so, yeah, last I checked, there were 7.5 million people. And
that was
at the end of January. I haven't been checking it, but people are still responding. I get so many people, amazing people reaching out to me, and I'm learning from them, people like you, Bruce. So it's like our paths may never have crossed. So it's really wonderful. It's exciting.
Had you done any posting before to LinkedIn, Mary, or was this just something that really struck you as something you needed to do?
You know, I'm rarely on LinkedIn, and I'm not a social media expert, and I'm not a marketing person. There are people who study this, and they try to figure out how to make their posts go viral. And I later looked up, like, how does that happen? And apparently I didn't follow any of the rules that they have in their articles about how to do that.
That's funny. You just posted. Yeah. And it happened on its own. Well, that's because
it was organic.
Yes, it was meant to be. It was interesting enough that it just did it on its own.
Maybe because I wasn't trying. Sometimes life is like that. But
I agree. The synchronicity.
But, yeah.
So tell us what you posted and why you were compelled to post it.
Okay, so I was visiting my parents for the holidays, and it was New Year's Day, and I noticed that they had hung up their diplomas in their study in a little corner where nobody sees their diplomas. Now, my parents, they never hung up their diplomas their entire lives. And, you know, they're professors. They went to Harvard, but they don't like to wear that on their sleeve, right? And so I thought it was unusual to have these little simple diplomas and simple frames, and they hung them up. They waited till they were in their 70s to do that. So they asked them why. You know, why did you wait to hang these up? And my dad said, and I quoted him in the post, it's a very short post. My dad said, I don't know. And my mom said, I always thought that if you had to tell people that you're smart, then you're not. And so my question was related to how do we remain humble and still demonstrate our values and our value in 2017? You know, how do we do that in the workplace? And people, everybody just had something to say about it. And I just, people from all different countries and all kinds of professions got in touch with me. And it was just incredible, incredible. And a lot of people were looking for guidance in that area. And a lot of people enlightened me, and I learned from them.
Isn't that great?
So I was actually, it was wonderful. It actually helped me define how I want my practice to continue to be. And it's kind of going against the grain of how, you know, our society has evolved in terms of seeing more people and less time and all that kind of stuff. But because of, you know, I've been sort of meditating on everything that people have shared with me. It's just such a rich experience, and focusing on the value and the responsibility we have as helping professionals. I've intentionally decided to limit my practice so I don't see a large number of people, but the people that I do help as a coach, I give them my undivided attention. And so it's quality over quantity.
Yes, that totally resonates with me. I have a set limit that I do per week, which you know, is contrary to my competitive business, you know, corporate experience. But I really feel what you're saying is, you know, to be fully available to somebody, you need to be fully available. And if you're thinking about the next call and jumping, you know, on the next plane, sometimes that can be a little disruptive. So, and tell us a little bit about how you set those boundaries around, you know, the practice. What's that look like? And what drew you to that conclusion? Was it really the experience of just talking to everybody who responded to the post?
I put a lot of thought into it. I got a lot of, I did consider the responses, because so many people gave rich responses about values and how really you don't have to, hide your strengths. And, you know, you can still be humble, but yet you can show your value by making a difference by who you are and by helping others. And so, you know, and not making your goal to make money or, I mean, money's nice, but that can't be what you're seeking. If you're in the helping profession, you're seeking to make a difference first and foremost. And so it just kind of helped me, you know, clarify that. And, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. also coming from the EAP background, a lot of companies, what's happening is the internal EAPs, which have the human touch, they're getting outsourced by the large, you know, the 800 numbers where somebody's offsite, and it's not the same. I mean, there are pros and cons to each model, but it's trying to do, you know, saying something that we're offering something for free. Well, ultimately, a lot of times the companies end up limiting, in order to survive, they can't really serve that many people for free, so they're not serving everyone.
Right,
you know, they can't. And so I was like, well, you know, if that's happening, I think I'm going to do the opposite. And but at the same time, I think all programs, therapists and EAPs, I think we need to stay relevant. And that's another thing that attracted me to coaching, is staying relevant.
Okay, and what does that mean to you in terms of coaching?
Well, the consumers are demanding this. People are looking for solutions, and there's no stigma to coaching, which is wonderful. People
yes.
are proud of it.
Yes. Well, because that they're taking initiative in their life. It shows that they're they have goals and that they're moving and that they're achieving. And coaching is all, to me, coaching is all about moving forward. And it says that I'm not staying stuck. I'm moving my life forward in a big way, and I'm spending money on it. And, you know, instead of, you know, getting my hair done or, you know, going on a trip,
right.
I'm investing in my future, in my personal happiness, in my career development. It's an investment that people are making more and more, you know, even when they can't afford it, they make it. You know, they look at their budget and they figure out a way. I just got off the phone with someone. She's like, I just don't know if I can do this, but maybe we could do that. And I'm like, I think that's a great way to start. You know, if you're committed, mm-hmm. you'll start somehow, you know, because you want to get the movement. And so when you say relevant, what resonates with you in terms of coaching being more relevant, that we need to show up for people that way?
Well, I think because people are looking for outcomes. They're not looking necessarily, I mean, there's treatment. If someone needs treatment, that's a whole other thing, right?
Right, right.
Or consulting. But people who are not necessarily needing treatment, they're wanting to move forward with their lives. They're wanting to find meaning. Maybe they've arrived at certain milestones that you're supposed to arrive at, the house, the job, the whatever, the two kids and the fence and the everything, the American dream, but they're not happy.
Right.
And so a lot of people, they may be very successful in terms of professionally, but they want something more out of life. And it's such a pleasure. I'm sure you guys both would agree with me. It's such a pleasure when someone is actually seeking help. They're bright, they're resourceful, they're reaching out. And maybe that person is in a position where they touch a lot of lives through the type of work that they do, whether it's through healthcare, through academia, through whatever business they're in. And by helping that person take it to another level, it can actually affect so many more people. And so it's really exciting, I think.
I think it's so rewarding. And I love listening. I totally resonate with what you're saying. And what came to my mind is like what you were saying is people achieve what society says we're supposed to go out and achieve. And then they still find that, you know, they're not content, that they want to do more with their life. And I think a lot of times people really want the reward of feeling like they have made an impact in some area. Maybe it's professionally, maybe it's helping people personally. But I think a lot of people stall out. The money thing is nice, but it doesn't fill that hole if you're supposed to, if you feel like there's something more purposeful you're supposed to be doing. So we have a big exodus from the business sector in the corporate world where people are looking for more purpose, which I think is wonderful because that's what coaches are for, you know, is to help take that journey with somebody. And I'm often surprised where, you know, somebody heads in one direction. I had a really profound coaching experience yesterday, and the client whispered something, and I said, "What did you say?" And then I heard her. And then it was like, "Did you just hear what you said?" You know, because it takes time to get to underneath where you really want to go.
Yes.
And so just yes. taking the first steps and just really exploring with a coach and getting things accomplished and moving forward. And then all of a sudden you have those big aha moments of, no, this is what I really want to do. This is what feels yes. like kind of the accumulation of all my experiences, my education, my expertise, you know, really to go out there and do something, you know, with it. So I love that you said that. I was just curious what you meant by relevant.
Yeah, I guess relevant also meaning like to the marketplace and to what people are asking for and wanting. Okay, maybe they don't want an internal whatever counseling program, but maybe they do want a program that offers short-term problem resolution. And internal EAPs, by the way, I still am a big advocate for keeping them around. I just think that there's always a conversation in the EAP world with my wonderful colleagues about how do we stay relevant. And so part of that, one of my colleagues is actually branching off into coaching. I was just speaking with him yesterday, and he's part of that organization that I mentioned. So I think EAPs can incorporate that, and that might be the next wave. But there's nothing like an internal EAP and a face-to-face coach, or a coach who's just maybe not face-to-face but dedicated just to one person instead of a call center.
It's
irreplaceable.
Yeah. Now, how might you guide somebody who may be listening and says to themselves, you know, I really like to contact some EAPs and work with professionals. I'm really drawn to working in the business sector. How might you advise them?
Well, the gold standard is to have the CEAP credential. It's CEAP, which is Certified Employee Assistance Professional. And so the national or international organization is Employee Assistance Professionals Association, and that would probably be a good place for them to start if they're interested in that.
To get credentialed.
To get credentialed in EAP. Is that what you're asking?
Well, no, or if somebody wants to, is in private practice as a coach, but they really want to break into the corporate sector and work with EAPs.
I see.
Yeah, and work with EAPs.
I see. I think in general, and this is kind of a general answer to your question, but these are some takeaways that I've gotten just in the past, you know, couple months since all of these changes. I think it's always great to get some training in related fields, and I'm doing that myself so I can even refine my coaching further. Take what I've learned and still refine it, and Bruce is helping me and mentoring me with that. And so get some training in related fields and ask for and listen to ideas from many different people. So if you're drawn to the EAP field or drawn to certain you know, whether it's healthcare, academia, whatever it is, then ask. I mean, I asked a question and I received, a lot of responses. Be open to new challenges. And I think regardless of whether you're working in the business setting or with people who are interested in health coaching or whatever it is, I just say, you know, enjoy the satisfaction that comes from helping others achieve their dreams.
Yeah, it's really a great thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very.
If someone ever wants to talk to me about getting into the field, they're more than welcome to reach out. If they're interested in somehow combining EAP with coaching, I can get them connected with actually someone really awesome in the LA area who's doing some of that.
Training. That's nice.
Training.
Okay. Fabulous. So are you still getting responses to your post?
I still am today.
Wow.
Yes, every day from all over the country. Of course, there are a couple people in Nigeria who want to exchange bank account numbers. You know, you get that. But but most of the people have just been amazing. And also, it's people who are reaching out for coaching are in really interesting professions, like without saying too much, you know, I'm working with a newscaster and he's looking to basically become a producer and move to New York City. And so that's an exciting change.
Yeah.
And Yeah, yeah. And another person is a pretty prominent public speaker. And so who is actually, you know, between countries and between jobs and relationships and trying to find meaning and make some major decisions. And so people like that, as well as, you know, scientists and professors and physicians, all kinds of people are reaching out. It just touched a chord with people from all different industries, software people and people in different countries. So it's just I'm trying to get back to people a little bit each day because so many people have written to me personally. Yes, it's not a problem. I want to acknowledge them. Yeah,
That's so nice. Hey, I'd love to hear what your parents' reaction to all this is.
My dad doesn't know about it. He doesn't trust social media. So if he listens to this, he'll be like, "Oh no!" And my mom has been helping me. She thinks it's unusual because she's, you know, she's from the generation where you don't tell people where you went to school and you don't, you know, she's very like that. They're simple like that, you know, just humble people. But she's helping me kind of field all the different inquiries and stuff. It keeps her busy. She's almost 80, but
that's
she's very
so nice.
Active. Yeah,
that's
nice. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad will be surprised one day if he listens to this. Hi, Dad.
Yeah, for sure. Right. One question led to a post that, you know, goes viral and interesting.
Yeah.
Good timing. Like I'm listening to the synchronicity of it, this happening at this time in your life when you're launching into private practice. It's just interesting.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's
I guess
like,
that's why I put it out. Right. I put the question out because I was wondering about it. And I think if you ask a question that's related to values, you're going to get something back that's valuable, you know? So it was about values in the workplace, and that's why the responses were so rich. And maybe that's why, maybe you guys can help me answer this, because I haven't figured out why it went viral. And what is it about the topic of humility right now? In 2017, why did it strike such a chord with people?
Well,
you know,
there could be
a lot of reasons.
Yeah, my first instinct is that, you know, we're in an era where everybody is branding themselves. You know, it's like the more you put yourself out there, the bigger and better it is. And that may feel contrary to a lot of people in terms of humility.
That's the classic struggle that everybody that uses LinkedIn has to ask themselves. In other words, that post cut to the existential core. Do I blow my own horn, you know, and tell everybody how great I am so I can get a job and I can get this opportunity and blah, blah, blah? Or do I portray myself in another way albeit humble, something might get missed in the translation and it could cost me this opportunity or that opportunity. And so I think looking at that like a Rorschach card, like that picture's like a projective that people will now project on, right? And so that's, I mean, when I saw the post, that's what I thought, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, well, you know what, I'm not probably not too dissimilar from the other 4 million responders. So, I mean, gosh, or whatever, you probably maybe had 10, 15 million see it, but only 4 to 7 million actually reach out and click something. You see what I'm saying? You might have had double that on the reachable audience. So, I think it poses an interesting paradox or conundrum, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing, Bruce, is that I think somehow in asking that question, I got an answer to it. Mm. Does that make sense?
What was the answer, right?
Well, the answer was, look at this. I was somehow able to demonstrate value without bragging. And now I'm on your radio show. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And all these wonderful people have taught me so much and enriched my perspective on how I'm going to help people in this world and use my skills to pay it forward. So I think that's part of the answer is maybe that's why it took off is, you know, not being too flashy and, but having substance.
Right. Right.
And,
right.
And having the good intention, you know?
Well, and I think I think the word humility is so intriguing to so many people. And I think it's a word that people like to explore and want to better understand.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things, it's almost like a word that you chase, you know, like you find yourself chasing the meaning and trying to identify with it, you know, like what is humility? You know, how do you go out in the world and be a humble person contributing? I think that in itself, the word probably really drew in a lot of people.
Yes, yes. Someone actually shared a quote with me, which I loved, and it's, I forget who said it. I'll get back to you on that, but it said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So anyway, a little off topic, but still related to workplace and how all this came about. And maybe people are kind of looking for a little bit of, you know, less flash and more substance. And
right, just more
grappling
authentic.
With these issues too.
Yeah, I think authenticity.
When
I think of humility, I think of being really authentically true to yourself, you know, without having to broadcast it, you know, just, you know, where there, you know what I mean? Like you have a humble nature. It doesn't mean you can't go out and do great things. It just means that you're grounded in it. You know, you're not above or below.
Exactly.
That you're grounded in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And grateful. I'm grateful for people. You know, nobody's better than anyone, but we all have gifts that we can bring.
And
So. So it was really cool how Bruce and I got to meet each other, and it's you know, seems to be leading somewhere, and that's kind of organic because I just posted this last month, and here I am today, and I'm really grateful to the two of you for having me on your show.
Interesting. Yeah, it's been really great. Do you have a particular direction you're going to take your coaching, particular type of client, special? I mean, have you thought about that?
Uh-huh.
Are you just pretty open?
Well, I've enjoyed working with people from a lot of backgrounds, and I can because, you know, with the EAP, you work with people who do all kinds of jobs. But I have to say, my coaching clients are generally leaders in high profile positions, especially in healthcare and academia, but also in public private sector. And as I was saying earlier, a lot of times people in these positions feel like they can't talk to their family or friends,
right?
Because no one really seems to get it. Or they end up isolating from colleagues because they're worried that opening up could negatively impact their careers. And so typically, you know, my clients are facing that type of situation where they want to speak with someone who's removed from that, but someone who also gets it, right?
Right, right. Somebody who has the understanding but isn't tied to the position.
Yes. So, exactly. So,
that's
someone.
That's the big deal.
What's
about
that,
EAP.
Bruce?
I was going to say about EAP, because EAP is kind of branded as like, oh well, I got to go to EAP. What makes you look like something's wrong? You're about ready to be fired, or you're seeking safe harbor because you're an alcoholic. So I mean, just the word EAP can have a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, I think it has the HR association to it,
right.
to where you worry. I, you know, personally, I would think of confidentiality that, you know,
right.
So I understand what you're saying is in the coaching world, people will seek out coaches, you know, because it's so discreet and confidential and they're not tied to your business world or your personal world. So I think that there's something
exactly.
to be said for that, you know, that question they have in their mind, you know, can I trust this? You know, is the trust there?
Yeah. Yes, and at the same time, the EAPs are ultra confidential. They're so HIPAA compliant, and you know, it's like working with, you know, mental health, substance abuse. It's just like HIV. I mean, you got to protect that kind of information. And a lot of what I do is educate people, even though there may be a stigma, because yes, you deal with impairment and you know, complex employees. It's the majority of people who seek EAP services are doing so voluntarily, and they're actually not the ones that I worry about. I worry a lot more about people who don't reach out.
Right.
But it's really, it's a form of wellness, and it's the EAP takes a proactive stance and says, hey, come talk to us, and they normalize it and they make it about wellness. And then people, it's quite similar to coaching, and it's really a positive thing. It doesn't have to have that negative connotation. It's private, and it's about wellness. And so I still got to stand up for my EAP colleagues, even though, you know, I'm not doing that full time
anymore.
No,
I think it's great.
It's such a valuable work that they do.
I think it's great that you point that out, because I think what you're mm-hmm. what you're fighting, Mary, is a perception in the workplace.
Exactly.
That's really what it is. It's like you're saying, they follow the HIPAA regulations. Mm-hmm. It's totally confidential
right.
and discreet. They do everything they can to protect the information.
Yep.
But for some reason, the perception is in the employee's
yeah.
mind is that they have to, you know, maybe that's not something they can trust. You
yeah.
know? So it's more of you're fighting yeah. a perception issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's EAPs, kind of a constant struggle. What's that?
That was it. EAPs would offer so many coaching sessions, they could head off a lot of other pathological situations. I think people would approach more of a coaching, like, hey, you're given 5 life coaching sessions as part of
mm-hmm.
your benefit. Your EAP
yeah, that
benefit.
Would be great.
You get 1 legal
that
consultation
is, yep.
call, you get 8 mental health
yep.
visits, and you can tack on 5 life coaching visits as part of your EAP benefit. And man, I think that would, 1, head off problems, 2, increase the utilization of EAP, 3, and I think the coaching would be at a price point that I don't think would turn many heads in a bad direction. You know, it's not neurosurgery.
Absolutely.
So,
I think you're onto something, Bruce. You're onto something, and that's actually, I think, where it's going to head. Just like EAPs, they get caught up, but they overlap with wellness and work-life programming. I think coaching is so huge, and it's embraced now by so many people and leaders and large corporations that an EAP would be very wise to get on that cutting edge and get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially my wonderful internal academic healthcare EAP colleagues, mentor people from IEPA. I keep giving them a shout out, but they're the cream of the crop, and they make such a difference. They're just great experts. And I think if they do some more talks about coaching, Jason Sackett, I spoke with him yesterday, and he's out in LA, and he's from that organization. He's also he's doing some teaching, and he's a certified coach as well. So if anyone wants to get in touch with him, I'll be glad to give out his information privately as well.
Nice.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm in. The, yes, go ahead.
Oh no, I just think that you're right. That you know, I even found myself as an executive coach backdoored into a not necessarily an EAP situation, but it was a sexual harassment issue that was able to be mm-hmm. solved and addressed by management and union very successfully
yep.
by utilizing
yep.
a coaching paradigm. Coaching didn't sound like, yep. hey, you moron, you got to go to woman's sensitivity training because you've got all handsy
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it was, no, you know, you're gonna go through a coach. You're going to go see an executive uh-huh. coach for 8 to 12 times and address this issue
yeah.
in a coaching format. Man, it worked. It was a feel good. Everybody signed off on the deal. And,
yep.
It was kind of my first foray going through a side door, you know what I mean? But anyway, and
mm-hmm.
I would like to think that there's probably somebody out there interested in pitching EAPs with coaching services as a provider.
provider of coaching services for an EAP. Man, I'm not going to do that. That's a young man and woman's game for me, but certainly that would be something for somebody in the future.
Yes, those two fields complement each other so well, and along with the mental health background, but and the EAP people can be really, really helpful in those situations you described, Bruce, because of the knowledge of the employment law and organization and unions and all the complexities. Not that you need to know all that to be a coach, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Could be helpful for sure.
It helps a lot. You can be very effective. Yeah, so it's exciting to be able to put all this together and to help folks. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I'm in it for, is to make a difference with some of these people, and they want to have happier lives. Yeah.
And Mary, you're going to have an interesting time here. I think you may be giving a presentation here in March sometime before a collection of smart and accomplished individuals to perhaps invite them into coaching that you do. And I'm excited for you on that opportunity. That is just going to be a really great thing. And hopefully you'll have more and more of those to come as time goes by. And it'll be interesting, Mary, because once you kind of get into private practice, like water seeks its own level. You don't really know the type of person that might be gravitating to you. I mean, you probably have an idea, and you'd like to think that everybody does. But once you kind of get out there for the first year or two, to see what kind of trends you'll establish with what kinds of people are really coming to you and then staying with you, and then thirdly referring to you on the backside. So that's exciting to see how all that's going to form out. And I know you're
I'm keeping an open mind.
Oh yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
great.
Thank you.
Hands down, easiest prospect ever. It's just you getting out there and staying on it, you know. And what a great beginning with your little viral thing. It's not little; it's a huge viral thing. But wow, you know, what a great first inning of the ball game for you as it pertains to kind of, you know, coming out. So that was really good. So, well, Mary, why don't you tell our listeners how you can be reached and your website or email or phone number, and go ahead and tell everybody how you can be reached. Go ahead.
Thank you. So my first name is Mary. My last name is spelled R-E, M as in Mary, O, N as in Nancy, pronounced Ramon, R-E-M-O-N. And my phone number is 305-705-5389. I'm based out of Miami, but I do coaching internationally. I do private practice locally, meaning Florida, for as a therapist. And my email is mary@maryramon.com. That's mary@maryremon.com. And my website is maryramon.com. So pretty easy to remember if you can just spell my name right. I have a presence on Facebook LinkedIn, obviously. Yeah, so I just figured I'd make it simple. But, I'm a therapist and a certified employee assistance professional and a life coach.
Well, excellent. That gets us about to the two-minute line. Well, man, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Keep us posted. We'll be keeping, you know, I'll be in touch with you. Maybe bring you back on here in about 6 or 8 months or whatever and tell us what you're doing, how things are progressing. So
good luck to you, Mary.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much, Bruce. And I hope you can make it to my talk next month.
I hope I can, too. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll keep you posted on that. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care.
I appreciate it.
Well, folks, another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And don't forget to see our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Cindy, what's your contact information?
Can be reached by phone at 714-943-6206 and website wisdomfoods.com. Another great show. Thanks to Mary. Great guest. Really enjoyed it. Wishing everybody a happy Tuesday.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.